Hello, my spooky friends.
My name is Cassie.
And I'm Caitlin.
And welcome in to I'd Survive.
We are so back after 2 weeks, which honestly has been the most confusing 2 weeks because of the way we do things. Literally, Cassie texts me last week and is like, oh my God, guess what? I forgot to edit half of the episode. And I was like, we have an episode? And it was pretty much just the energy of how everything's been going during this break.
Us trying to figure out when we were supposed to take off from recording, like, two brain cells shared between one brain cell maybe shared between us being like, wait, when do we, if we want to not do work during the holidays, we've record 2.5 weeks ahead. And then there's like the editing side of it and the script writing side of it. And it's just like, when are we supposed to take off? And it's so weird that what works for us is for technically you guys to not have episodes 2 weeks in the middle of January.
Yeah.
Which like, it's weird.
It was so confusing for literally no reason. How was your break though? How was the holidays?
My break was so good. I actually took off like a proper 5 or 6 days, which is just crazy and really, really nice. Just a lot of family time. And then, hit the ground running again. Well, actually, I decided to take an extra week off of movies for my YouTube channel, like movie reactions.
Sure.
Because I was doing a room makeover that I was very excited and passionate about, and I was like, you know what, I'll just come back when the room makeover is done. Now, like this week, I guess, actually feels like the first proper week, but I was working last week too.
Yeah, it's been good. No, yeah, first of all, yes, I am looking at Cassie in a new room now, guys. It's very exciting. It's a very cozy looking room.
Love.
10 out of 10. I was technically taking last week off, but I didn't really. Because like, it's just, what am I going to do? I'm going to edit. I'm going to work on things. Mm-hmm. That's just what I want to do. So that's pretty much what I did. And then the holidays were the holidays. Nothing crazy this year. Just a pretty standard holiday.
Yeah.
And I'll take that, honestly. It's pretty calm. Mm-hmm. Did you watch horror movies?
Okay, so I really haven't. The only horror movie I watched since we last talked is what I'm going to be covering for next week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
However, I did rewatch a horror movie for the first time in a bit. Last night I watched It Chapter One for the first time with my brother. Like, it was his first time seeing it.
Okay. Okay.
And that was fun. Okay, so here's my brother's review. I showed him Scream first. It was his first real horror movie that he's seen, Scream.
Good, good.
And he was obsessed. We've talked about this. And he's like, 10-10 movie. I'm like, I know.
Yep.
And then for It Chapter One, he's like, 7-10 movie.
Okay.
And it's interesting. He's like, there like were scarier moments for him in It because he actually has a fear of clowns.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yes. However, I think what he actually got caught up on a lot in that movie, which I didn't realize, but I understand, and I have my own rationalization for it, is just that they kept on going toward these hallucinations. Well, they're not really hallucinations. It's more complicated than that. It's real.
Of course, but of course.
They kept like walking toward these things that were scaring them. And he's like, just don't fall into his trap. Just don't walk toward the balloon. Just don't follow the blood on the wall, on the footprint, or the bloody footprints.
Yep.
And I was just like, well, I can see how that's annoying, but I always took it as like, it's this supernatural calling that's run by their fear.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not just what they're seeing is because of their fear. It's like they're interacting with it and they're drawn to it because of how scared they are. And that's part of Pennywise's magic.
Yeah. No, you don't want to start talking about the It franchise with me because
I know.
I'm re-listening to the book right now, obviously. Actually, I don't even think I ever talked about Welcome to Derry, like the end of Welcome to Derry. Mm. I was like my favorite thing I watched last year, Welcome to Derry.
Yeah.
And I'm planning on rewatching 1 and 2. And then like I'm going to be doing a massive like Pennywise discussion like with my Patreon people, which I'm really looking forward to. But I think what I'm realizing even more re-listening to the book is how the movies, I love the movies, but it's so hard for the movies to capture what the book is, given that the book is 1,200 pages and there are so many details that the movies just can't get into, which I understand. And that's why like Welcome to Derry has been cool, because it's like delving into a lot of the stuff that the movies didn't cover. And it's just, I just have a stupid love for the franchise.
I know. It's so, I'm so excited though, because as far as the franchise, I've only seen the first movie. So now that I watched that with my brother, I'm going to be watching part two. I've read the book.
Okay.
But I am going to be watching part two for the first time when we watch it together.
Awesome.
Whenever, probably soonish. And then we're going to watch Welcome to Derry together.
Oh my God. Yeah. That makes me so happy.
I know.
That brings me infinite amounts of joy.
I'll definitely be keeping everyone updated here with
that. Me more so than anyone else.
Yeah.
I just need to know. So this is a great place for that.
Yep.
I wanted to talk about Welcome to Derry. Check. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yep.
I watched a movie that I was considering for the podcast. Just, you know, it was called 12 Feet Deep. And wow, that was, I watched it and I was mad about it. The concept for it sounded really good. It's like two girls get trapped in a swimming pool. Like the cover goes over the pool.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like it's mostly a drama. They're just arguing about everything. And then there's just like this crazy lady that shows up out of nowhere. And you're like, what's going on? Tobin Bell, aka Jigsaw, is in it for like 5 minutes. I think the budget went to that and that alone. Yeah. It was really weird. But
yeah,
wouldn't necessarily recommend. But I watched it and it happened. I also watched Black Phone 2 this past Friday, which people have been like hyping up a lot. So I was really excited about, and I was still pleasantly surprised by it.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it very similar in tone to the first one, or did they do something different?
I would say it was very different. Like,
oh, cool.
The vibe of it was very, very different. And I was surprised by like some of the gore that happened. Mm-hmm. Where I was like, whoa, this doesn't feel like the first movie at all. Very different, but like really cool what they did with it.
Okay, I'm excited to watch that one.
But that's pretty much all I have for horror.
Okay.
So do you wanna talk about a movie called Backcountry?
Yeah, please tell me. My favorite thing ever is when you find a movie I've never heard of.
Yeah.
I love a blank slate episode.
This is fun because I think what happened with this movie, it's 2014, 2015, depending on what you look at, because it was in a film festival, Toronto Film Festival in 2014. Didn't really get a full release till 2015.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just getting put on, like it just hit Paramount Plus. So I think it's like suddenly people are hearing about it a little bit more.
Okay.
It is a Canadian film.
Okay.
Directed and written by a man named Adam McDonald. And this was his first feature film. After this, he worked on a movie called Pie Wacket.
Oh.
Which is a movie that I've also had on my list for a long time. But like he's not in anything huge.
Sure. And
this was his first. So.
Okay.
That's really all I have for you. But we need to talk about one other thing.
Oh, yes.
The worksheet. Okay, guys. Yeah. I'm going to try and keep this concise so that I don't ramble at you. But Cassie and I decided over the break that we want to try something. We want to try something new.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, like when we give our scores, they're kind of just a vibe. You know, like, how do I feel I would survive this? We kind of wanted to structure it and make things more complicated than they need to be because we're Cassie and Caitlin and that's how we deal with things in life. Yes.
We overthink.
We
need the format to match that these brains of ours that overthink.
Absolutely. So we came up with the worksheet, which I don't know why I'm calling it like the worksheet TM, but I am.
It sounds like a film title now.
It really
does.
The
worksheet.
The worksheet. I love it. So basically, as I was writing the script for this episode, I came up with questions per act, very specific questions that I will be asking Cassie at our breaks, and she'll assign scores to each of these questions. And then at the end, we will take those very specific things and use those to come up with our score. I think what I've learned in doing this for the very first time is that I think each episode might be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our first time trying it, so it might be a little wonky today, but we're going to do our best. And you are more than welcome to also get your score using the worksheet. If you don't hear us at the end of the episodes, by the way, you can submit your own scores on our Discord, which you can get to via our Instagram at I'd Survive Podcast. You can submit your own scores and we have like our community scores, which is really fun. So if you want to use the worksheet to also get your own score, we encourage that. If you don't, that's cool too. If you don't like to complicate things, that's a vibe and I get it. But we're going to try it today.
Make it as interactive as you like. This is officially now an interactive podcast. There's always been an element of it because we encourage people to submit their own scores. And I love seeing those community scores and comparing them to ours. But this is like next level. Like if you really want to like play a game along with us, this is what that is. But if you're just like, girl, I ain't got time for that. Like, you're in my car stereo right now. Like,
yes,
that's totally fine. You don't have to play along. Just enjoy as usual.
So here we go.
Okay.
Backcountry 2014. Our film starts us out in a gloomy, dense forest as we pan down through layers of trees. Mm-hmm. The closer we get to the ground, the louder the buzzing of the flies becomes until something appears very blurrily in the foreground. Mm-hmm. And we're not sure what it is, but the way there's flies crowding around it, we can make a pretty educated guess as to what this might be.
Yeah.
An elevator dings and transitions us to a parking garage where we meet our two main protagonists. Alex exits the elevator carrying two large hiker's backpacks and makes his way over to his girlfriend, Jen, who is waiting by the car. Jen is furiously typing away on her phone, very enraptured by whatever is on there, as Alex loads up the trunk with all of their camping equipment. Off they go. Seems like they've got a long drive ahead of them as we enter a bit of a driving montage on different roads, different levels of traffic, different weather. We've been here a while. At one point along this drive, Jen is looking through a woman's magazine and decides to fill out the boyfriend quiz. I don't know if you remember these.
Oh, yeah. I do. Listen, the Tiger Beat quizzes.
Yes.
Meant
yes.
everything to me.
Dude, I was subscribed to that magazine. I made my parents subscribe me to Tiger Beat and Bop, just mostly for the posters. I wanted all the Taylor Swift posters I could get. That was important to me.
Same. And Selena and Taylor were my girls.
Dude, and when they would have a Selena Taylor joint one, I had one of those. Oof. The best.
Highlight of our lives, still. Chasing that high still.
Every day. Yeah. It seems like Alex is not doing so well on this quiz because, A, does he get his way? Yes, absolutely. Always he does. Does he admit when he's wrong? Oh, no. Absolutely not. He never admits when he's wrong. Uh-huh. But Alex tries to counteract his failings by saying, well, I can start a fire with no matches. So that's going to count for something. And Jen's like, yeah, okay, no one cares. No one cares. But it's still endearing. They have a good relationship. They're mostly kind of joking. Alex, actually, he pulls out a CD with the most like campfire-y camp country song.
Okay.
Like, and he puts it in. And it's like when I was younger and we used to go on vacation, like there was like these things called like the moose tape or whatever that my parents would put on. And it was like a moose was singing. About camping and shit. Yeah, believe me, it was my childhood. But
how do you know it was a moose singing?
Well, because he's like, I'm a moose with a cowlick in my hair.
Oh, okay.
I found it this morning when I rolled out of bed. So,
I'm actually not sure what to say about this, but I actually don't know what I'm supposed to say. Like, I'm curious if anyone else has experienced the moose tapes. Or if this is very niche to you, because I've never heard of this, but that sounds really fun.
Yeah. We used to listen to those in the car, and it just, that's kind of the vibe of what's going on here with Alex. And Jen is like, she doesn't want to hear this, but the longer the song plays, the more she smiles and laughs until she joins in herself.
Okay, good.
And she gets like really into it, and then backcountry. The title card flashes on the screen with like an ominous thud. Which, like, interrupting the goofy camp song. And you're like, whoa.
Ooh, yeah. Very nice. I love that.
So Alex and Jen eventually make it to a little shack station place to check in for their hike. And the man behind the counter, his name is Carl, he tells them that their canoe's ready for them down by the river. Just bring it back Monday by 5 p.m. Carl offers Alex a map, but Alex refuses to take it, insisting he knows these woods well.
Oh, so he didn't watch Blair Witch.
Apparently not.
I see.
Yes. An interesting decision on his part, I think.
Very interesting. I would take the map. Oh, I don't know if this will come into play later.
Wow, it's crazy that you say that. What? Carl seems skeptical about him not taking the map, but he doesn't like force him to take it or anything. Mm-hmm. He just asks where they're headed. Blackfoot Trail. Alex is so excited to finally show Jen this place that he just loves so much. It's the whole point of the trip. But oh no. Carl tells him that Blackfoot Trail is currently closed because I guess people have been disrespecting the property up there, and each person caught up there on that land will be fined $500.
Damn.
They share like a small silent moment where we all know that Alex doesn't care and he's still going to go there anyway. And Carl, I think Carl knows that, but he just was like, you know, he's eyeing him.
Yeah.
But Carl hands over an emergency kit for the couple to take with them on their journey.
Good.
And off they go.
Okay.
Alex and Jen drive down to the lot next to the river and gather all of their belongings. Jen is once again enraptured by her cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Alex drones. He's not amused by her cell phone usage. Mm-hmm. But Jen promises this is the last one. Sounds like she's working on something that she deems important, but she finishes it up, slides her phone into her bag. And it's funny because it's like a BlackBerry. This is 2014.
Love.
Yes. Throwback.
Oh, I loved my mom's BlackBerry. It had the most fun game. It had that game.
Brick Breaker?
Where like you, yes.
Yes. I did that on my dad's.
That mm-hmm. one was the best. Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Yeah. I played a lot of Brick Breaker on my dad's BlackBerry back in the day.
Yeah.
Good times. I still remember that. I don't know how people typed on those, by the way.
I know. Those buttons are so little.
Yeah.
And close, smushed together. Yeah.
Insane. So let's jump in that canoe and let's head out. Based on a true story, a lower third informs us as the couple drifts across the lake.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
I didn't know until this moment.
Okay.
And this is something that we're going to talk about at the end. I would love to talk a little bit about the true story. The cinematic music in this movie is honestly really good.
Mm.
There's a lot of like beautiful slow motion shots of them rowing. The scenery's gorgeous, really nice vibes. And that's something that I will tell you now is big in this movie is just ambiance and cinematography and stuff like that. So
nice.
The movie has a lot of those moments where you just kind of exist and it's really nice.
Yeah.
Alex and Jen reach a shoreline where they pull up in their canoe. Alex actually drops the canoe on his foot while pulling it out of the water.
Oops.
Good job, Alex. Good job, buddy. And as they settle in, Alex takes out the emergency kit and hands the whistle over to Jen. It'll scare anything away, he tells her.
Well, okay.
Hmm, yeah. I probably won't need it, she responds. I've got it taken care of. She says, I've got it taken care of already. And she pulls out a can of bear spray from her bag.
Good.
Yeah. And Alex is like, where did you get that? You're not going to need that. And Jen tells him that it's just going to help her feel safe. So he's like, okay, sure. He clips it on her belt for her. Alex jokes that we got to see what other goodies Jen brought on the trip. Because he's kind of making fun of the bear spray. Like, mm-hmm. not like aggressively, but he's kind of like, all right, what else did you bring? Mm-hmm. Looking through her bag, he finds a road flare. And of course, he's going to make fun of her. Like, girl, what are we doing with a road flare? Like, you realize, like, if you wanted a flare gun, I could have got you one of those. But the road flare? And it's a fairly lighthearted moment. But at the same time, you can tell that Jen is serious about just wanting to feel as safe as possible on this trip.
Yeah, she's so mean.
She's not spending a ton of time in the forest. She's clearly doing this because Alex is excited about Blackfoot Trail, you know?
Sure.
So they throw their packs on their backs and head off down a hiking trail in this new location on the other side of the lake. And more beautiful, foresty ambiance, vibey music, shots of them hiking, stopping for a snack, sharing pleasantries with other hikers they pass.
Oh, good. There's other hikers. This is a good sign.
We're passing other people. And at one point, they pass a watering hole and Alex, like, suggestively just points at it. And Jenna's like, no, absolutely not. Like, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
They come upon a cute little bench in a camping area and decide this is where they're going to stop for the day. So they set up camp. It's funny that we actually like cut to camp being set up. Like there's no like scene of them trying to put up the tent and failing miserably, which I feel like is crazy because most movies would do
that. It feels natural, especially with her.
Yeah.
Like they're not both these professional hikers. Yeah,
but they set it up.
Okay.
And Alex starts a fire, which we know is a skill that he's very proud of after his car conversation. And Jen watches and Alex is like, is this turning you on? And she's like, oh yeah, so hot.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, Alex starts, remember that water hole we passed? Jen does not want to hear it, but after some prodding, she agrees. Fine, she's gonna go skinny dipping with him in the watering hole.
Oh, we're in like a pub. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. She kind of is like, what if people, but like, it's dark. It's pretty much like they haven't seen anyone in a while. So she agrees. I don't think, I'm not opposed to the concept of skinny dipping, but like in a public place where there's people around and it's also a little chilly. I don't know. I think I'm going to not do that. But.
Also, I can't like go directly into a house and like take a shower and dry off.
Right.
You know, I guess I'm just no fun.
Same though.
Yeah.
So they go, they have a great time jumping in the lake. Alex more so than Jen. She's freezing, mm-hmm. which, mm-hmm. yes, again, that would be exactly. me too.
Yeah.
And we actually get a distant shot at the end of the sequence that feels very POV of someone watching from a distance. Because okay. it like yeah. the way it moves suddenly behind the tree, you're like, whoa, that's not a natural camera movement. That feels uh-huh. we're somebody. A little later back at the camp, Alex decides he's going to get some more wood for the campfire before it gets too dark. Mm-hmm. Jen offers to go with him, but he insists, you stay here. He's got it covered. So Jen just spends some time sitting at the camp, taking in the sights and the sounds of the forest. But her moment of serenity is broken up by a man suddenly calling hello Ew. From just behind her.
Oh my God. Wait, what? Like how? Is it like tentative? Is it like demanding?
It's just like, hello? Oh. It's not nothing crazy. It's okay. more of a, I'm just trying to get your attention. Hello.
I still don't like it, but same. It's fine.
It's more of a question mark hello, not like a hello. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's, yeah. We're not there, but I'm still, like, uncomfortable.
Exactly, yeah.
So this little hello jump scare actually leads us into Alex chopping wood a little ways away. And he gathers the wood he's chopped. He leaves the axe in the tree and heads on back to the camp. As he gets closer, he starts to hear voices. Mm-hmm. Jen's and some strange man's. The chatter is indistinct, but it sounds friendly enough. The ominous music and stings are enough to put us off a bit, though.
Right.
You're like, okay, there's like a little bit of a weird energy here. So Alex slowly and skeptically, is that how I pronounce that word? I'm doing great, guys.
Good job.
Makes his way over to the camp before slamming the stack of wood on the ground to make his presence known. It's like a very intentional, like, boom.
Okay, let's not jump to any conclusions, sir.
Right. So hearing the sound, they both turn around. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jen says, this is Alex. Alex, this is Brad. They make some light introductions before Jen reveals that Brad has extra fish on him, so she invited him to stay for dinner tonight.
Oh, no.
Yep. I think that's immediately, I'm like, girl, what did you do?
Yeah, I would be so annoyed, like, as a partner.
Yes.
Like my other half being like, hey, so I invited someone to dinner tonight and I have no input from you, but I just decided for us.
Yes, absolutely. Like, no, I'm literally putting myself in Alex's shoes right here. I would be so mad. Yeah. I'd be like, what the fuck did you
do? Especially because it's his thing.
Exactly.
You know? Ugh.
Yeah. Alex really doesn't hide his annoyance as he asks Jen to help him with something in the tent real quick.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. So Brad takes a seat by the fire as Jen makes her way into the tent. You're comfortable with this? Alex asks. Girlie's really like, what? Him?
Oh my gosh.
Like, as if it isn't a crazy thing to do.
Right.
You know? She's acting like it's, what do you mean? Like, what? Huh? Alex is concerned he could be some dangerous guy. We don't know him. But Jen talked to him for like 10 minutes and she seems to think he's great. So, you know?
Yes, yes. You can always tell a person's intentions within the first 10 minutes of meeting them in a forest.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Alex isn't happy about it, but they're not going to like uninvite him. So I guess we're having dinner.
Weird.
Yeah. We're just going to have dinner with Brad because that's just where we are now.
Yep.
Also, Brad's not dumb. So when Jen and Alex emerge from the tent, he's like, I don't want to bother y'all. I'll head on out. But they're both like, no, you can stay. Please have dinner with us.
If I was Brad, I would literally be like, oh my gosh, like guys, I forgot something. I have somewhere to be. Like I got to go. Like I would make it seem like I have to go so that they didn't have to feel like they weren't being polite.
Absolutely. Because now it's just awkward because everyone knows, you know?
Yeah.
And Brad's like, really? Like, I can stay? And Alex says, yeah, it was just a misunderstanding. That's all. So Brad's like, all right. He slams the fish down on the grate over the fire with a, all right, let's do this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. How old is Brad? Is he like about their age?
Same age. They're probably in like their 30s, like early 30s.
Okay.
Alex does not actually like the knife that Brad pulls out of the sheath. He's just using it for the fish, but he's still kind of eyeing it like, Don't love that. Don't love that. And they watch as Brad guts and prepares the fish. And let me tell you, they are definitely disgusted. And I would be too.
Yeah.
I don't think I could eat a fish. Like, I don't think I could watch somebody like fish a fish, put it in front of me, prepare it, and then like I would eat it. I think I would struggle with that. I think I would like get nauseous.
Same. I mean, well, I'm not a big seafood person.
Same.
In general. So like just that thought is just not appealing. What has happened before is like my stepdad will go out fishing and then he's like made like fried fish from fish that he's caught. So it just like it looks like what I'm used to in like a restaurant or like a frozen bag of fish fillets or whatever.
Sure.
But people who like that fancy food where like you have like a legit fish with an eyeball still in its head in front of them. I don't understand how people can do that. I don't know.
It's not for me. It's not for me. Well, it's officially dark out now, and the trio gets to chatting around the fire as the fish finishes cooking. We learn that Jen is a lawyer.
Okay.
Brad is from Ireland, which we could tell, like, he had an accent, but, like, you know, now we know he's from Ireland. And Alex works for his buddy's landscaping business.
Mm.
Are you Mexican? Brad asks. Silence. Brad breaks it with, I didn't mean anything by that. I just thought that's a job that the Mexicans do here.
The Mexicans.
The Mexicans. And it's like,
okay.
Well, okay, what?
So, Brad, everyone is capable of doing any job.
Yep.
It's so odd.
No, it like the look on Alex's face, it's something like Jen has to butt in like real quick because, oh, Alex looks a little pissed off right now. Jen's like, oh, yeah, like, but what he does pretty high-end stuff, you know, and he's starting his own company soon. Like she has to try and like smooth this weird moment.
That's
over.
So crazy though. Her saying he does high-end stuff.
I know.
As if the Mexicans know. Don't do the high-end stuff. Hello.
Yes. It's a That's wild so moment. So like, this is like the first moment too, like for sure. I feel like where we see this look on Brad's face where we're like, oh, he knows what he's doing.
Oh.
Like this wasn't innocent. This was, oh, you enjoyed what you just did. And
weird.
This starts to like very clearly turn into like man in its primal form where these two dudes are very intimidated by each other and they feel the need to one up each other, especially in front of Jen. Like there's a woman. Ugh. Like they it gets weird. Super weird energy.
Okay, yeah. Out of nowhere? Or was there something about other than like the soundtrack, the score that they gave this entrance for Brad?
I feel like he was just kind of confident to start. Okay. But then like he starts to get cocky.
Sure.
So the fish are getting close to done now. So Brad asks if they have anything they could cook as a side to go with the fish. And Jen's like, oh yeah, I've got veggies or potatoes. Veggies sound good, Alex says. So Jen gets up to grab the veggies when Brad goes, no, I'd say the potatoes. Bruh. Like,
okay.
Are we joking? So Jen's like, all right, yeah, we'll do both.
That's so weird.
Right.
Oh my gosh, this is our food. Like, you're a guest right now. Like, what do you mean you're going to fight the people who brought the food about which food they get to make of their own food? Like, what are you doing? There's a lot to think about here. Like, as far as, like, what would you do?
Right.
Yeah.
This kind of was making me think of, like, Speak No Evil.
Exactly what I'm thinking right now.
Yes. That's exactly where my brain went in this situation because I was like, this is just like, awkward.
Yeah.
And, like, really, you want to be like, something's up, but at the same time, you're like, or are you just weird? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But when Jen's like, I'll do both, Brad goes, no, let's do the potatoes.
What?
I can't get over that.
Is he still like holding a knife?
I don't know if he's holding it, but he's definitely still got it.
I would be like, because I want to be like, okay, you're not like, uninvited. Like you can't sit with us. Like
I know.
You weirdo. But knowing that he has a knife would make me uncomfortable and make me tiptoe more.
That's true.
Because my brain would be dramatic and be like, okay, if I upset this person, they might kill me. Like, unfortunately, I do go to that extreme pretty quickly when I'm around strangers.
I don't blame you.
That's not something to laugh at. So that's actually so sad.
Yikes.
They just let it pass.
She just gets up and she like leaves the two men alone. And somehow Alex is able to keep himself from going off on this guy and they just start chatting.
Oh.
Which I give him a little credit for because like there's no way I'm just going to start chatting with this guy, right?
It's probably smart as far as de-escalation, but it's hard. Yeah.
It's hard. So what does Brad do for a living? Well, he gives backcountry eco tours to tourists. Mm. Fun fact. So like he's pretty well versed in the forest and the conversation's polite enough, but the tension's there. You feel it. Jen arrives back with the potatoes when Brad decides he needs to pee. So he gets up, turns around, and pees.
Okay.
Like right there next to the campfire. Like, he just gets up, turns around. That's it. And Jen and Alex share a glance where Jen mouths, like, I'm sorry to Alex.
Yeah, because, my bad. I should not have let the... Wait, what even... I wonder, do we ever find out, like, how that conversation went down? Like, he just appeared and was like, hello. And the next thing we know, he's invited to dinner. Like, I wonder what happened there.
Right.
Like, what excuse he made up to stick around?
When Brad finishes up, he turns back around and immediately is like, all right, what do we got here? And he reaches for the food and Jen tries to intercept it because she's like, you just were peeing. But Brad's like, no, yeah. I got it. So he just starts using his nasty ass hands to deal with the food. And as he's doing this, he asks Jen and Alex what their plans are in the coming days. Jen starts to answer, but Alex cuts her off saying, oh, you know, you got a really hectic life. So we're just going to take it easy, relax around this area for a few days, which we know isn't true. Mm-hmm. But we don't need to tell this man what we're doing in the coming days. He doesn't need to know that. Brad's kind of surprised to hear this, though, because he knows if he had a beautiful woman like Jen with him, he'd want to take her to see some places away from the touristy spots.
Oh, my God. Like, I could give you a better tour than this little man can. Ew. Mm-hmm.
I know. And he's, like, especially excited to tell them about this one place called the Blackfoot Trail. And Alex and Jen don't mention that they know it or are going there. Mm-hmm. Brad, like, looks at Jen and goes, are you sure you don't want a tour guide? And she's just like, I've already got one.
Yes.
Yes. I love that she says it exactly like that.
Good.
I've already got one. So anyway, they eat their meal and then Brad packs up and starts on his way. Thank God.
Oh, okay.
But no.
Oh, no.
He stops and he turns around. Hey, Alex, earlier you said it was a misunderstanding. Do you want to explain that to me? And Jen and Alex are both kind of like, what?
Huh? Yeah, wait, what? Am I supposed to know what he's even referring to right now? What the heck?
This is exactly the mind that I had right there.
Okay,
right, good. Because Brad pushes on and demands Alex tell him what he meant by that. He's like, okay, fine. He's like, well, I come back here. I find my girlfriend talking to this guy, and I'm not sure it's a good idea. That's all. I mean, I don't know you. Uh-huh. And I wrote, I don't know about you, but I'm like, yeah, this seems fair enough. That's what I wrote in my script, because that's the way I feel. But Brad pushes more, and he's like, so what was the misunderstanding?
What?
And Alex just like, you could be some nut. She convinced me otherwise. Now Brad starts to walk away, but before he does, he leans down to the ground and says, hey, Jen, I think you dropped something. And he holds up a pair of her underwear.
Wait, why is that there?
I don't know why it's there. I guess she dropped it. But, you know, Brad has to point that out to her. And
of course.
Alex obviously goes to say something, but Jen just is like, nope, I got it. Like, politely. Like, she doesn't want to start anything. So she just grabs the underwear from Brad, who then actually does, in fact, turn and walk away.
Okay, so we need to pack up and get out of here.
Yep, right?
Actually, like, as in go home. Like, not even just to a new location. Mm-hmm. Like, let's come another time.
Right.
Because that's weird enough.
That was, like, a wild interaction that we just had.
Yeah.
And, like, as he walks away, once Brad's out of earshot, Alex, like, turns to Jen and is like, why don't you invite him to the house next time? That'd be fun. And Jen apologizes and asks if Alex thinks they should be worried about him coming back. Mm-hmm. Alex shrugs it off saying, nah, he's just weird. Before chugging a beer and announcing that he's going to go grab the axe he left behind so he can sleep with it next to him,
just in case. Is it gone?
Well,
oh no.
Jen's just like, you're mad. And Alex just kind of stares at her before saying, I don't understand you. Mm. Jen's like, what? Like, what? What did I do? Mm. And I wrote, I'm team Alex here.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a little upset that she invited some random man to eat dinner with them on their first night away together.
Yeah, you would think that it would be common sense to not.
Yep.
So I also don't understand her as far as that decision. So, yeah.
Exactly. But it is what it is now. I guess Alex goes back, gets the axe, and it's fine. And they tie their food up in the tree, and then they go to sleep. Oh,
yeah. Okay.
And so this is the end of Act One.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to do this worksheet. Okay.
So there are four questions that I'm going to ask for Act One. And basically, when you answer the questions, they are pretty yes or no, but 100 is 100% yes, 0 is 100% no. And you can kind of scale yourself closer to yes or no, however you want with the number, depending on how strongly you feel.
Right.
So question one is, would you skip the trip?
I mean, no. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
My boyfriend wants to go on a hiking. Listen, it's not my thing. Like, staying over, and I'm down for a hike, but I don't want to sleep in a forest.
Right. Fair.
I'm down for a day trip. So an overnight trip, I probably would. Gosh, I'm trying to think. Like, if my boyfriend was like, I really want to do this overnight forest hike. Honestly, realistically, I'd probably be like, that sounds terrifying. I don't want to do that. I'll do a day trip though. And then he'd be like, okay, we can just do a day trip. Like, that's how that would go. That is how that would go. But it seems like if this guy, this character in the movie was my boyfriend specifically, it seems like he's like more really passionate about this. And like, it's a very big deal to him. And like, it means a lot. Like, it's a thing. So I probably okay, so I'm gonna say, wait, 100% is 100% yes.
100% I would skip the trip.
Oh, 100% I would skip the trip. Okay, I would say I actually do want to go into 60% territory.
Okay,
you know what, I'll do 59.
Okay,
I'll do 59% because yeah, it would probably be like, that's not my thing. I'm gonna be really bad and miserable and like not helpful, and I don't want to ruin this experience.
That's fair. I gave myself a 15 because I do think I would go on this trip. I wouldn't be like super excited to go on a camping trip. But I think I would do it for the experience. Question B: do you take the map?
Oh, so 100% yes.
Okay.
100, 100. I would take two, actually.
I would take two.
Just in case one gets lost.
Fair. I give myself an 85 because I'm like pretty confident I would take the map. Sure, give myself a little leeway there. But yeah, I think not taking the map is that's a very man thing to do.
Yeah, isn't it? Like, historically, that's the joke.
That men will not use the map. They know where they're going.
It's like along the same lines of like instructions, which I wonder if that's still as true as it is today.
Right.
But it's making me laugh because it makes me think about how I play video games. And my nose is in the map. I don't know where I am.
It's like, wait, no. Look at that again.
Yeah.
Question C: did you pack the bear spray?
Okay. I'm going to lean more toward yes. I don't know if it would specifically be bear spray. I'd probably want to bring something into an experience like this. I don't know if I would settle on bear spray, but I might after I do my research. I'm guessing that's the best thing you can bring. So I'm going to go like solid 75% there.
I put 85, and that's because I've actually been on trips where we've brought bear spray before. So like, I know
to bring
the importance of bear spray. And then do you, okay, this is, sometimes the questions are weird, worded really weirdly, guys, and it's because I need to keep consistencies with 0 and 100 meaning the same thing throughout. So 1D is, do you simply share pleasantries with Brad as he walks by?
Oh, okay. So you're asking...
I wanted to ask, do you invite him for dinner? But then that flips the scale.
Exactly. So like, do you, I guess, like...
not invite him for dinner.
Not invite him.
Yeah.
And instead just have polite conversation.
Yeah.
And make sure he just keeps going on his way.
Sure.
Yeah, I would not... I'm trying not to be cocky with my percent here. Because I just know it's like different. And sometimes it's awkward in the moment and you do stupid things.
Right.
But I'm still going to go pretty high for this. I think I will just have that simple, polite conversation. Keep it very curt and like...
yes.
Not inviting, but like not rude.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to envision a world where I would end up inviting him to dinner.
I know.
But I can't see it. I'll go 94.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went 97 on that because, yeah, like, I'm not inviting this man to my dinner. Those are the questions. We're not going to average out those questions right now.
Okay.
We will come back to the average for those. But for now, that is that is the questions that I have for you.
I'll say overall, I mean, I don't know where we're headed, but I'm feeling uneasy. And this could be a situation where I have a very high score at the end. Or a very, very low score. Like,
right.
There's just, we're still very much setting up what the real danger is here.
Absolutely. So, I think Alex feels a little bad about blaming Jen for the previous night's situation because the next morning, Jen wakes up to the smell of coffee and bacon. Alex has made Jen breakfast in bed, in quotes. But Jen is honestly really grateful for this. They eat some food, they drink their coffee, pack up their stuff, and head out for another day of hiking. On their trek, Jen asks Alex, what's so great about Blackfoot Trail anyway, and why do they call it that? Well, according to Alex, the local tribes had called it that because at the end of the trail, it just circles around this small lake, and the earth around the lake is black. Quite simple. He also raves about how beautiful the lake is, how you come up over the hill, you see this gorgeous, pristine lake, and he can't wait to show Jen the place that claimed the spot of his favorite place in the world when he was a kid. Jen starts joking about how Alex's geeky side is about to come out, and they're poking fun at one another when Alex glances at the ground and stops. In the dirt in front of him is a bear track. Jen turns around asking him if everything is okay, and he takes a beat, but then he just says, yeah, before they keep going.
Maybe you want to tell your person just to, like, be on the lookout, but yeah, okay.
Right? Yeah. Now, a little while later, they come to a fork in the road. We love a fork in the road. And Alex confidently takes the path to the left, which seems to be the path less traveled.
Okay.
Of course you're going that way, Jen says. Right. Alex is like, yeah, this is the way. And Jen stares at the very clear, open path on the right before reluctantly following Alex to the left.
Oh my gosh. No, no. Yeah. I'm not doing that. Okay.
They hike for a while longer, and at one point, Alex kind of stumbles a little bit and subtly winces in pain. Doesn't seem like anything dramatic, maybe just some residual pain from dropping the canoe earlier on his foot. And once night falls, the couple stops. They set up camp for the night. And Alex is actually going to sit by the fire so he can take his shoe and his sock off to get a better look at his foot, like what's going on down there. Well, his big toe is bleeding pretty damn bad.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like touching it and groaning in pain a little bit. Like it really, really is hurting him.
Yeah.
So what does he do next? He pulls off his entire toenail.
Why would you do that?
Why? Like, is that the right thing to do?
No. I mean, it will grow back. Well, but like, sometimes it doesn't. But no, I would, right? I mean, if it's already on a hinge, sure. Like if it's like your toenail's like completely like on a hinge and ruined.
It slides right off. But like even then, would you not want that extra layer of protection? Or is that going to like infect
I would absolutely bandage it tight against my skin.
Right.
Because why would you just want the open wound? I don't know.
I don't know why he does this. Maybe it's the right decision.
Maybe. And I'm
uneducated, but I was like, bro, put that back, please. Thank you.
Yeah.
So Jen comes over to look at it and just goes, Alex, that's disgusting. And I'm like, mood. Absolutely. Yeah. But she does take out the first aid kit and tend to him, including pouring alcohol like on his foot, which of course hurts like a bitch.
Oh my gosh.
but I feel so seen here because you know what happens? Alex just starts laughing. And I have never met anyone else who has this reaction to pain, but this is how I react to pain is I like laugh hysterically. And every time I do it, like my family's always looking at me like, are you serious right now? And I'm like, I'm in so much pain, but I'm like laughing on the floor about it. And he has the same reaction. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel so much less alone now.
I've never met anyone like that.
I know.
Or like witnessed that.
I don't know what it is. I laugh when I'm in pain and I don't know.
Have you always? Like even
for
very
a long
young?
Time. I don't know if when I was little. I should ask my mom about that actually.
Interesting.
Anyway, they get it all wrapped up and Alex is chilling. And they go to bed that night and Jen is woken up at some point by the sound of twigs breaking outside the tent.
Oh, here
classic,
we go.
Classic. Classic. Mm-hmm. And after a few
I hope it's the bear. You know that question. Like, do you take the man or the bear? I hope it's the bear.
Exactly. Oh. So after a few twigs snap, she eventually wakes up Alex. And as she does, something hits the tent.
Ooh.
So she's like, Alex, someone is throwing stuff at the tent.
Mm-hmm.
Alex listens, but dismisses it because, that's just the sound of acorns like falling from the trees.
Right. Sure.
Which seems reasonable to me.
Yes.
So they close their eyes in an attempt to fall back asleep. But then, thud, something loud sounds outside the tent. That's not an acorn, Alex says. Jen is nervous. Maybe Brad followed them, which valid concern because what was up with that guy?
Yep.
So the two of them sit and listen, but no more sounds come. So Alex is like, okay, it's fine. Whatever it was is gone. Let's just go back to sleep.
Okay. I don't know. Could you go back to sleep?
I think I would be too scared to open the tent.
Yes.
But I don't think I could fall asleep either. So I think I would just be like laying there like I'm about to die.
Me too, yeah.
Exactly. So the next morning, they wake up and anything interesting outside the tent, do you think? Or you think it's going to be normal?
Well,
or?
I hope it's not a pile of rocks because I'm still Blair Witch Project mode. You know, like ritual, if we're going to get into ritual. Oh my God, the ritual. If we're going to get into ritual stuff in this woods, that's possible.
Sure.
Did they leave? They left stuff outside, their stuff. Maybe that's like ransacked would be my guess.
Interesting. So what they do find is a small tree has been snapped in half.
Oh.
A tree that hadn't been like that when they went to bed the night before. In terms of like how big the tree trunk is, like if you were to make a C with your hand.
Oh.
And like kind of finish off that circle. It's like that big. So it's like not super hard to break, but it's, you know, fairly thick.
Yeah.
And this really puts Jen off. She's had enough. She wants to go home. Like she's she really doesn't want to be here anymore. But Alex talks her down and focuses on how great the destination will be. She's going to love it. They're going to be okay. And then they honestly move on from the tree thing real quick and just head out, which I don't know. I would be a little more uncomfortable about a tree being snapped outside my tent.
Would you think, oh my gosh, an animal was really nearby us? Or would you think it's the guy trying to scare us?
I would probably lean animal.
Yeah.
Because I think breaking a tree would be a weird thing for Brad to do, right?
Like, why would that would be so weird. He's a weird guy though, so I don't know.
Exactly. On their trek today, they're having some conversation about some girl who's an artist. I don't know. It's not important. When Alex spots some wintergreen and he shows it to Jen saying that you can eat it, and he takes a bite of the leaves before offering some to Jen, who's like, nah, I'm all good. I don't need to eat the leaves that some animal probably peed on. Like, I'm good.
Right, yeah.
But this is when Jen notices something. A weird smell in the air, and she finds the smell concerning, but Alex shrugs it off. It's nothing. Alex starts heading down the path, but Jen turns left and follows the scent. She doesn't have to go too far. The sound of flies grow louder the farther she walks.
Ooh, okay.
Alex, now having turned around to follow her at this point, and the two of them come upon the hollowed carcass of a large deer. It's a highly unpleasant sight, and Jen does not want to stay around and look at it for too long. So she just turns and Alex follows. I will say this does seem like it is a shot from the opening of the film.
Okay, yep.
But they kind of clock that. They're like, don't love that, but they're going to continue on their journey. And they've gotten to a point where they're really, truly not on a path anymore. And Jen is tired of this shit. She's having to like push through branches that are hitting her in the face. And then she trips and falls and she hits her face on the ground. Meanwhile, Alex is like way ahead of her and he's like, I found it. And with a huff, Jen gets up and makes her way over to him.
Yeah. Thanks for the help, dude.
Thanks so much. Thanks. He immediately laughs, seeing that she has something on her face, something that I would have thought was dirt, but he calls it poo. So that's nice. That's great.
Gross.
At least he does, in fact, clean it off for her with a little water and, you know, he cleans it up. And they stand at the bottom of a slope when Jen asks, like, this is it? Yes, it is. They're almost there. The lake is over the slope. They've got a little more climbing to do, but Alex can't wait to get there.
Okay.
We get a little climbing montage, them walking up this slope, and they finally reach the summit. From the cliff, they can see a lot more trees.
Oh.
And no lake.
Okay, so where's that map? Yeah.
I don't understand, Alex says. I was sure. I was like a fucking 100% sure. The panic sets in quickly for Jen, and she tries to ask Alex what is going on. Let me think. He raises his voice and screams some expletives that no one but Jen will be able to hear. Please tell me you have a map in your bag, Jen says. I never need a map. Alex responds. God.
Okay.
Jenna's like, okay, well, we need one right now because you don't know where we are. I thought you said you did this like so many times. Well, Alex had been to the park like so many times, but this trail he hasn't done since high school. Jen stares him down with just like pure disappointment before going to grab her phone out of her bag. Alex watches her. It's not a, he starts. Jen can't find her phone.
Oh.
I took it out, Alex says.
What?
He took it out and left it in the car because he didn't want her to use it on the trip.
Oh, I'm breaking up with him.
Right?
Oh, that's like crazy.
Right?
You don't bring a map and you leave my phone behind because you mm-hmm. are so up your own ass thinking that everything is going to be fine that you can't for a second think, maybe I should think about the safety of my girlfriend just in case.
Period. Period. What Cassie just said.
Yeah.
Jen is like appalled.
Yeah.
And she says, like, I didn't even reach for my phone once.
Exactly. Clearly. It's crazy that she, like, it took her this long to find that out.
Exactly.
And should make him feel even worse.
Mm-hmm. She says she put it in there just in case they needed it. Like, that was the only reason she brought it. Alex insists, you know, you wouldn't have gotten reception anyway.
Sure.
Well, I would have loved to try, she says, before turning away from him. You know, it's like, he's probably right, but still.
That's the point.
Beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
They take a moment in silence before Jen asks him the last time he was sure they were going the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Alex tries to say that he's been sure the whole time, but she shoots him down quickly. She's like, no, think about it. When did you stop being sure? It was that fork in the road. The first one they came across.
Oh my God, he is such an idiot. Mm-hmm. You look, if you're not sure and you see the difference in what these paths look like, why the hell would you choose that one?
Exactly. Jen's panic has started turning into tears. Why did we have to come so far out on my first camping trip? Why couldn't it have been a regular trip? Why do you always have to show off?
Mm.
They start screaming at and over one another. And Jen gets real honest, saying that she wishes she never came on the trip. Mm-hmm. You fucked it up. You always fuck it up. You're such a fucking loser.
Ooh, she screams at okay, him. Well, okay, well. Yeah. Maybe we don't need to go there, but we can be mad at him for, I'd be like, your ego has us in danger right now. Like, think about that. Accept that. Work on that, please, with someone else, because I will be leaving after this.
Because I'm gone. And, like, Alex looks so hurt by her saying that, which
I know, name calling is just never good.
It's not the solution.
Yeah.
But she continues on. She's like, this stupid lake. Why did we have to come here? Why?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to propose to you, he says.
I literally thought this.
Yes.
I literally thought this, but I was just like, don't be annoying, Cassie. Like, don't say it. Like, let it happen if it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not going to happen.
Right.
I hope they don't end up together in the end.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see.
But this turns into immediate silence because, like, now Jen kind of feels a little bad about what she just said.
Yes.
So Alex turns and walks away from Jen, who just stands there dumbstruck. And some time later, it seems like they've spent, you know, a good at least 10 minutes apart. Alex walks over to Jen, who's sitting on the ground. I'm really sorry, she says. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
He tells her it's okay, but they do need to move and make camp before it gets dark.
Mm-hmm.
So they do. Alex ties the food up in a tree and they head to bed. And it thunderstorms all night. Seems kind of cozy, to be honest. And the next morning, as Jen and Alex sleep peacefully, we, the audience, see and hear some concerning sounds.
Okay.
First, we hear some twigs breaking. Then the silhouette of something large appears through the thin material of the tent. We know for sure what it is when we begin to hear the pants and sniffs of a bear.
Oh, okay.
It walks around the tent, sniffing at the edges, and at a point even like buries its snout into the side of the tent right above Jen's head.
Ooh, yeah.
And the couple continues to sleep until the bear actually kind of like pokes at Jen through the tent, but she's like really asleep. So she just kind of like nudges at it and rolls over. And we're going to cut away for a little time jump.
Oh.
Jen and Alex are now up and they have discovered that their bag of food tied up in the tree has been destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Alex blames it on a raccoon that he claims to have seen the night before.
Okay.
Hard to tell if he genuinely thinks that or if he's just saying that to like keep Jen
not freak calm, her out,
you know? But regardless, they need to head out and try to find civilization today. So off they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes clear very quickly that they don't know where they are and backtracking is nearly impossible. So they're kind of just wandering until they find something. And a while into the day's hike, Jen stops to take a sip of water. It's the last sip she has left. And while they're standing there, Jen looks to the left and spots something that catches her off guard.
Mm-hmm.
We cut to it, and I'm not going to lie, like, it means absolutely nothing to me.
Oh.
It looks like a shallow hole that would in no way alarm me whatsoever. But Alex informs us that, oh no, it's a bear bed.
Oh, okay.
I looked up bear bed and it's like really, like, you got to know what you're talking about to know that's a bear. Like, it was a hole and sure, it's a bear bed, I guess, but I never have known that. As scared as Jen looks, she kind of takes charge. She's like, okay, let's get as far away from here as we can before dark. They do just that and set up camp once again. And that night, they sit by the fire together and exchange apologies. Jen didn't mean the things she said, and Alex is sorry they ended up in this situation to begin with. He asks Jen if she wants to see the ring, by the way. And she initially is like, okay. And then, like, as he's, like, about to, like, open it, she's like, wait, no. Like, just wait. She then mentions how hungry she is. And Alex pulls out their only remaining food, which is half a protein bar. That's all they've got left. Except, wait, just kidding. He pulls out a mini champagne bottle that he clearly brought to celebrate the engagement. Yeah. And they kind of laugh about it, but decide, like, yeah, let's crack that baby open. And they
now
they,
is the time, yes.
Yes. They cheers to us and share this little bottle of champagne. Okay. They get kind of emo about how this sucks, but at least they're together, which leads into a little makeout session. And they're going at it when they suddenly are interrupted by the sound of a twig breaking somewhere in the dark. They scan the trees for the source of the sound, but it's too dark to see anything. More rustling and branches breaking, but still no eye on the culprit. Do you think it's a bear? Jen asks Alex. Alex just screams, hey, like really loud into the woods. Oh,
that's risky.
Technically, yeah. We can hear a bear grunt as it moves away, and then the sounds just stop altogether. So Alex and Jen, they're like, all right, let's just get in the tent. So they get back into the tent, and they don't hear anything. So they assume we're good now. They go to sleep. Act two. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling like I wish we weren't in the woods.
Okay, that's a
valid. And we were just like at home under the covers, warm.
Yes.
You know, that where would be nice. I always like to be. It's annoying because it's like at a point where, like I want to turn back, but we don't know where we are. So it's just like, what's going to happen? How would I get myself out of the situation? I don't know.
All right, so I'm going to ask you four more questions. Do you leave when you see the bear track, that initial footprint?
Do they know going into this hike that there are bears in the area that you need to watch out for? Or is he like, there's not bears around here? Do you know what the vibe is?
I would say it's probably like, yeah, there are bears around, but it's like not something most people would be concerned about.
Okay.
For context, I gave myself a zero because I would not leave when I saw a bear track. Because I feel like that would be something that's like, yeah, there are bears here.
It's just so crazy that we're in a situation where it's like, yeah, there are bears here.
I've like
done and we're just that. Supposed to be okay with that. I've not.
Like, I've been to national parks and I've spent a lot of time in New Hampshire, and like I'm used to being close to bears, not in like dangerous ways, but like in ways where I'm like, oh, look, there's a bear outside right there. I was also really close to one at a national park a couple summers ago.
Oh my gosh.
In hindsight, we were all standing there looking at it, and in hindsight, I'm like, what the fuck were we doing? But
yeah.
So I feel like for me, it's like a bear track. No, I'm not going to leave.
I'm going to go with a 41%.
Okay.
Because I'm a scaredy cat, and like I go on a local hike every once in a while. And one time I saw a garden snake for the first time on the trail, and I ran away and I left the hike.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted to be done with that.
Okay, then I think you seeing a bear track might
it would freak me out.
Some of those same feelings.
Yes, it would be like, oh my god! The thing is, the reason it's under 50 is because I think I would freak out and voice wanting to not do this anymore. But I think I could be convinced that no, it's going to be fine. That's on these trails like this all the time. No one ever actually runs into bears. Let's keep going, and I'd probably be convinced to just keep going, even though it'd make me nervous.
Sure. Sure, that makes sense. Question B. At the fork in the road, do you go right?
Yes.
Which is the open. Okay.
That's the open. Yes. Yes. Oh, so 100%. Actually, you know what? I'll do like 90, 92.
Okay.
I feel very confident about that. I would split from the party over that, I think.
Got you.
Because it seems like it's so obvious, like that's not a major trail. And I'm not here to do like crazy experienced hiker trails. Like mm-hmm. if you want to do that, you go ahead, but I'm not experienced enough to do an off trail, like a more rare trail. Like I need to stick to the touristy spots.
Fair. I give myself a clean 50 mm-hmm. because I do think I would strongly want to go right. But if I was with mm-hmm. my boyfriend who was like, no, this is the way, mm-hmm. I'd be like, okay, because some stuff is off the beaten path. Mm. And I think I would be trusting. But if it was me alone, I absolutely would go right.
There's definitely people in my life. Like, for example, if it was my stepdad, he's like a very woodsy man. Like, he's mm. been all the places and he knows how to survive. I feel like he could survive off of the wilderness if he needed
wow.
to.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, he knows what he's doing. So, like, if he said to me, this is the way, I would be more likely. If it was just like someone who doesn't do this kind of thing all the time, literally. I mean, he mm-hmm. said he's been to the park, but like I would need to know you've done this trail a million times.
Right.
And you know what to do in every situation. And smart people in these situations know to bring a map. Like, and I know she knows she has a boyfriend who's like, we don't need a map.
Yeah.
Knowing
yeah, yeah.
he has that attitude, I'd be like, no, especially you not bringing a map, I'm not following you down there.
Question C is, do you leave when you see the tree snapped in half?
Nah.
Yeah.
That's probably like the least concern. Like that's actually less concerning to me than the bear
print. Bear track. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I went 10% here as opposed to 0, yeah. but I'm probably not leaving.
I'm going to match you on the 10. I feel the same way where it's I'd be like, the wind could do that. I'd convince myself the wind could do that. I've seen like when a tree is old enough, even though it seems like it's smaller, I don't know, maybe it's just naturally smaller. I just am not concerned about small trees snapping in any situation. It just happens with animals or the elements.
2D is, did you leave Jen's phone in her bag?
Oh, okay. So like bring the phone along.
Yeah. Are you like, I guess from Alex's point of view or like anyone, like did you leave her phone in her bag?
100% brought it with.
I did 100 as well.
Yes.
As we go into the final act.
Which I don't know still of what's going to try to kill us. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be a bear? Is it going to be a man? I don't know.
So the next morning, Alex wakes up Jen with some kisses on the cheek and the forehead. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, he says, that I should phone down to the front desk and order some room service, maybe a couple's massage. And this makes Jen smile. And with the complete disaster that was yesterday, it seems like they're past it sort of now. Like they're sharing a sweet moment. Mm-hmm. But this is right before they decide that they should really get going once again. Mm-hmm. Alex gets up and unzips the door to the tent, but quickly stops. A black bear sits on the ground a solid 50 yards from where they are.
Okay. I forget. There's like different types of bears that mean different things, and I never remember.
So if it's black, fight back. If it's brown, lay down.
Oh, God. Okay. Yes. Well, so I'm going to die. Yeah.
We'll talk more about that. Also at the end, that's part of my I did like extra research for this movie. Don't ask me why. I don't know. I really got into this script. It was just I was enjoying myself. Yeah,
I'm still very excited about the true story aspect.
Mm, yeah. Jen notices the concern on Alex's face and asks mm-hmm. him like what's going on. And he simply shushes her and tells her to stay quiet. Mm-hmm. It's hard to tell what the bear is doing in this moment. But after a few seconds, it gets up and starts slowly heading toward the tent.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm being quiet.
That's okay, because Jen is also whispering. Did it come back? Jen asks in a whisper. Alex nods his head. The bear's growls get closer. Please move on, please move on, please move on, Alex repeats to himself. He takes another peek through the door, and the bear definitely sees him.
Oh, God.
He jumps back, zipping the tent back up. Panic is rising as Alex looks for his axe, mm-hmm. but he can't find it. Fuck, he says. He left it in his bag, which he left by the fire the night before.
Oh, no.
Jen reaches for her bear spray and prepares it for use, like takes the safety off, whatever.
Good.
And the bear is just outside the tent now, pushing its snout into the sides. Alex and Jen remain as still and as quiet as possible. But suddenly the bear gets aggressive and swings at the tent. This scares the shit out of Jen and Alex. They both jump back, and in this moment, Jen drops her bear spray.
Mm-hmm.
The bear's head bursts through the tent where it now has the couple cornered. Jen screams as the bear slashes at her, leaving a large gash in her arm that immediately starts pouring blood.
Oh, no. Okay.
Alex yells for Jen to get behind him, and so she does. He starts screaming and swinging at the bear, kicking out his feet, like just doing anything to try and push the bear back. Mm-hmm. But the bear stands its ground before clamping Alex's leg between its teeth. Alex screams in pain and starts begging Jen to spray it. Like, he's like, spray it, spray it. And in this moment, all right, so the audio does something interesting. And mm-hmm. it kind of takes on the characteristics of, like, when a bomb goes off in film or TV, where it gets muffled and there's the ringing sound.
Yes.
Which is really cool. So Jen grabs the bear spray, and with shaking hands, she aims it at the bear and sprays. An orange substance emits from the can immediately, affecting the bear, who turns and walks away growling. As it retreats, Alex is still screaming in pain. His mm-hmm. leg is messed up. Like, chunks of skin are missing. Blood pours from the wounds. Jen tries to comfort him and starts wrapping up his leg. Jen, I can't feel my foot, Alex cries. Mm. I'm gonna fucking die out here. You're not. You're gonna be okay, Jen says. The bear barges back into the tent and goes straight for Alex.
Oh my God.
It grabs him by the leg and starts to drag him outside. Jen reaches for his hand and holds on as long as she can, but it's a bear. It pulls Alex from her grasp. Mm. The audio gets funky again. It cuts in, it cuts out, has muffled moments, has crystal clear moments, has silent moments. It's just like doing a lot with the audio here. Okay, and this is where we get to the point where I say this. This scene is probably the most disturbing scene I've ever watched in a movie.
What?
And yes, I muted it the second time.
Wow.
Because it, I'm going to get teary right now just thinking about it. This bear completely annihilates Alex.
Uh-huh.
Rips his skin off, and his cries, like, credit to this actor. It's so raw and like just blood curdling, like the pain that he's going through. And it's done in a way, this is another thing I want to talk about at the end. I want to talk about a lot of things, but like just know that this scene is extremely effective and like horrid.
Can you tell like how much is practical and CGI and all of that, or is that probably wasn't even on your mind if it was done really well at the time? But
well, it's interesting because I don't think it's really CGI. I don't notice CGI.
Okay.
Like, there's no, like, glaring, obvious CGI happening.
It just looks real.
And he's also, like, through his screams of pain, he's also screaming at Jen to run. But Jen is just, like, completely, like, just completely frozen. And she's just staring at him. But there's nothing she can do. And eventually she's able to gather herself enough to, like, start running. But she only runs a few steps before she turns back to Alex. He lays on the ground. He's dead. His insides are ripped out. His bones are showing. Half of his face is missing. And the bear roars over his corpse as Jen is barely able to move. And she's standing next to Alex's bag. So she reaches down, grabs something from it before the screen just cuts to black.
Oh.
And you're just like left to hold that for a second.
Wow.
And it's a lot. It's a lot. It's really great.
Sounds wild. It also makes me wonder, you know how we had wolves in our last recording session with Frozen? And they're very much driven by hunger. I'm actually not sure what, like, a black bear, like, do you think they just are territorial and protective and, like, just ready to fight and get people out of their zone? Or is it, like, a food thing?
The thing I know about black bears is they're generally, like, seeing a black bear isn't that scary to me because they're not usually going to attack a human. It's very rare that a black bear gets to be like that. And I actually have a statistic at the end that was really interesting. But like a brown bear should scare the shit out of you. You're going to die if you see a brown bear, because they're the ones that are very territorial and very protective.
Right.
But black bears are generally pretty docile. I'm not telling you to go pet a black bear, everybody. But like, they're not like there to kill you, you know?
Interesting.
When we come back up, Jen is running through the woods. It's likely soon after the attack. She's running when she trips and she rolls all the way down a hill, hitting her head and knocking herself out. When she wakes up, she crawls to a tree and leans against it. She just starts screaming for help, but there's nobody around to hear her. In her hand, she still clutches the thing that she grabbed from Alex's pack, and it's the ring box.
Oh, yeah.
She opens it up, like seeing the ring now for the first time, and she takes it out and she slides it onto her finger. I don't say this as a joke, but she really is just shaking and crying. We say shaking, crying, throwing up, but like that's where she's yeah, at.
Literally.
She's in rough shape. And suddenly she hears a twig snap behind her, and she just like that sound just triggers her, and she just takes off running.
Mm-hmm.
And she spends the whole day moving out throughout the forest.
Mm-hmm.
This part of the film, extremely atmospheric.
Sure.
When night falls, Jen climbs into a tree and she finds a spot where she's able to rest comfortably enough, and she falls asleep. In the morning, she's woken up by the sound of a helicopter overhead, and she immediately starts screaming for help as she scrambles down from the tree. But by the time she reaches the ground, the helicopter's moved on, and it's unlikely it would have really seen her anyway through all of the trees. She does come across a stream, though. She's able to take a drink of water, clean up her wound from the bear, something that seems as though it's very painful. Like, even water on a cut is very painful.
Yeah.
She also finds some wintergreen, like Alex had shown her, and she eats that. While she's on the ground gathering the wintergreen, she hears the sound of a bear growling close by. And looking up, she can see it wandering over in her direction, and she takes off running, and the bear chases her.
Oh my God.
She's running and running until she comes upon the top of a waterfall where she's forced to stop.
Mm-hmm. Random side note, can bears climb trees?
I don't know, but I did when I was looking up like bear safety, they say don't climb a tree
right
when you're running from a bear. So okay. I assume the answer is yes.
Yeah.
So Jen rips the whistle from her neck. She still has it, and she starts to blow on it. The bear just roars back at her, and she has no choice but to climb down the waterfall. So she does. And it's not too far. It's not like a crazy high waterfall. I wouldn't call it an easy climb either, but easy given enough, like given the circumstances of what she's been through.
Easy choice to make. Yeah.
Exactly. She does reach a point, though, where like the next step in climbing down this waterfall isn't clear. And as she's trying to decide what to do, she falls a pretty good distance and either sprains or very much more likely breaks her ankle.
Ooh, okay.
In the fall. And she is girly pop. I give her credit. She's able to put together a splint. Like, she grabs sticks and she starts like wrapping like a cloth around them to keep her leg together.
Wow.
But as she pulls that cloth tight, something snaps really loud and like she screams. I don't know if she snapped it back. She grabs herself a walking stick, and even with what seems to be a broken ankle, she continues on her way to just anywhere but here.
Mm-hmm.
The last 10 minutes I wrote, okay, so specifically the last 10 minutes of this film are extremely cinematic. A lot of ambient music, beautiful shots, slow motion, moments of zero practical sound, only music. And once the sun sets, she uses that road flare to guide her way and maybe capture the attention of anyone who could be around. But no one is around. No one sees her. And the amount of time that passes here is really unclear. It could be anywhere from like one day to maybe even four. Like, it's just kind of montage type stuff.
Sure.
And she has this really beautiful moment where she wakes up one day and a deer is just like chomping on some food right next to her.
Oh.
And she reaches out her hand like toward the deer, like not in a way that really makes sense, but I think she's very delusional right now. So she's just like reaching for it.
Yeah.
And it turns, it walks away out of sight. She's really beat up at this point. She does get up, but she's struggling to do so as she follows in the direction the deer went. I don't know if like this is like some level of delusion for her, but she just like wants to follow the deer. So she does.
Okay.
And as she comes over the top of a small slope, she sees the small shoreline where she and Alex had left their canoe at the start of their journey.
Oh my gosh.
Jen uses all her strength to get the canoe into the water before getting in herself. This entire sequence is all done with music, no practical sound. Feels, oh my God, I wrote this. This will help you. I wrote, feels very Life is Strange. You know the end of a Life is Strange chapter?
Yeah.
That's exactly what this movie feels like at the end.
Okay, got it.
So Jen is paddling across the lake, and even though we can't hear her, we can like see that she's calling for help as she paddles. And she makes her way back to the shore where their car is parked. The canoe hits the shore and Jen tumbles out of the boat. Through blurry vision, she sees their parked car in the lot. She collapses to the ground with her face against the cold dirt, and she can see a group of people standing in the lot. And one of them notices her and points her out to the rest of the group. Now, one of the men in the group turns around to look, and it's Brad.
Oh.
It's like one of his tours. I think this is like a really interesting decision just from the film. Like, I don't know why we brought Brad back, but it's Brad.
I don't know why we brought back Brad in at all, actually.
Yeah. In hindsight, I don't know if it's like just red herring, try to keep it more interesting as to what is happening. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's Brad. So Brad sees Jen on the ground and runs over to her. And we linger on Jen's face, battered and bruised, but alive. The screen cuts to black and the movie ends as the soft rock continues over the credits.
Hmm.
My only complaint here at the end is, could it have been anybody but Brad? I hate Brad. But Brad is there to save the day in the end, which also makes me sad for Alex. But, you know.
I know, because if they had that whole conversation, she's like, I have a tour guide.
Yep.
And then it's like, her tour guide didn't fail her. Well, I mean, I guess he kind of did. It's sad to say now, because it's like he died in a horrific way and like you feel bad and you don't want him to die and everything. Mm-hmm. But it was his decision making that led to this. And it sucks that like we want to be on his side, but then in the end he fails and he dies. And then this idiot, uncomfortable man is the one to like be there for her in the end. It just sucks.
Yeah, that's like the only thing is like I think bringing Brad back hurts in a way that's just like frustrating as opposed to like devastating. It's just like, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Go away, Brad. When the bear attack happens at the hour mark, and then there's still a half hour left of the movie.
Oh, wow.
That Jen section is a half an hour.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. But that's what I mean when I say it's just so atmospheric and so like just her trying to get through the
find a way out
forest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So 3A, did you bring your axe in the tent?
Oh yeah. I would say 86.
Okay.
%. I just find it very rare that I would, unless I'm absolutely exhausted and for some reason feeling too comfortable, I just don't see how I would be like hugging that axe at night in my sleep.
So my only thought on this, I gave myself a 25, and my only reasoning is because I find it hard to believe that he would forget it, except that like they had like heard the sounds and were like, oh, let's get back in the tent. So, like, I could see it slipping his mind. But at the same time, if you're hearing the sounds, wouldn't you think, let's get back in the tent and let me grab my axe for protection? Like, I don't know. But I give him a little bit benefit of the doubt there and gave myself a 25. But I understand either side of that for sure.
Yeah.
3B, did you spray the bear?
How difficult is it? Like, if
– very easy.
It's very easy? Okay. To, like, figure out.
It's just like a spray can kind of vibe.
Yeah, okay. I would say, the question here, I like doing these questions, by the way.
Yeah, I'm glad you like it.
I'm enjoying it because, like, I wouldn't think too deeply on this otherwise. And it's actually pretty vital and this is making me think. I can see myself freezing. I could see myself just wanting to run away rather than face it and get close enough to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to give myself like a 62 %, because I do think I would, but I could also see a situation or see a path where I would just panic and not be able to function or just run away.
Sure. I gave myself an 85. I think that one's tough though. I want to say like if I have the bear spray, I should be able to. Like Jen drops it in fear and like I'm not mad at her for that. It's a freaking bear bursts into your tent.
Yes.
I get it. But she is able to do it. The only thing about the bear spray is that it comes back anyway.
Right.
So it's kind of like my question is, she could have sprayed it again. I don't know why she didn't.
Sure. Yeah.
But I don't know how much that actually was going to help in this particular situation.
Yeah.
Because it came back. So I think that one's interesting. 3C, do you leave Alex to the bear as opposed to interfering?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything I could do there. Could I grab the axe and like try to hurt this bear?
Maybe.
I guess that's an option. I would be too panicked to be able to aim and I'd probably end up fucking swinging on him in the chaos and want to die. It's less likely that I would do that. Yeah, I think I wouldn't want to look.
Exactly.
I think at that point, I just wouldn't want to see what's happening anymore, and I would run away.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 89%.
I went 77 because I think It's hard because I think obviously the right decision here is to go.
Yeah.
But like if it's like your loved one, like that has got to be the most difficult thing to do, to just like let it happen. But like he's also like pretty much gone like immediately.
Right.
Like he's completely.
I have this weird thing where I think this might have gotten brought up before in another episode where like if it was my siblings, they're much younger than me.
Right.
I think I would have a – I mean, it would be traumatizing either way, no matter the age of the loved one. But I feel like I would more likely, like, try to step in for someone, like, littler than me, like, younger than me. Like, a minor,
for that.
You know?
Yeah.
But if it's, like, an equal playing field human, like, same age around or, like, an adult, it's like I'm also an adult and I don't think I have anything I can help you with here.
Right. 3D, do you escape the bear if you are Alex? Spoiler, I gave myself a 1.
Okay.
Because I'm imagining the bear bites my leg.
Yes.
Jen grabs for me. Let's go. At that point, I think I'm dead. I'm giving myself a 1 for like a little something, but it's a bear. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to give myself I don't know why I want to say 2%.
Go for it.
It's really not different from your 1%, but that's the number that's coming to mind. So I'm going to stick with a 2% there.
Okay. And then the last question, 3E, do you have what it takes to make it back to civilization, given your broken leg, the bear following you, your arm bleeding out and getting knocked out?
It does feel like there was some divine intervention with the deer.
I do like that moment because it's like, I don't know if you're supposed to take it that way, but it feels that way. It kind of feels a little Harry Potter Patronus.
I thought that, yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of funny, but yeah.
I'm going to keep the deer in mind as well. Like
that's
fair. I'm going to just try to get myself, can I get myself to the deer? And then from there, I know I can follow the deer and find my way from there. But there's a lot of time between, you know, escaping the attack and ending up where you're at with the deer. I think I'm going to give myself a 77.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. I do think as long as like I'm not then like wrong place, wrong time animal wise again, which she was not, I think I would be able to power through and survival mode my way, keep on the move, and then hopefully get that deer leading me back to the civilization.
Mm-hmm. I gave myself an 18, actually, for 3E.
Oh, wow.
Because...
I think you could do it. I think I hold you in a higher regard than you hold yourself here.
Thank you. I don't know. I think you're right. It probably should be higher, but I'm just trying to imagine there's a lot of things that she goes through there that for me, I'm like, I could see myself giving up. Like she's really just destroyed. And like you also have to take in the emotional state, I guess, too.
Yep.
Of like what you just witnessed. I think loss of hope would be very much a potential issue for me. But okay. So this is the fun part where we get to
do math.
Do math. Now, what I would like you to do right now is cross off 1D and 2D. Neither of those questions are going to be included in your average because they do not matter, but I felt the need to ask them in order to guide the plot because 1D was about Brad. Brad does not matter.
Right.
2D is about Jen's phone. I just wanted to ask that one, but I don't think you would have gotten service, so I don't think that question matters
either. I know. Yeah. Okay.
So what I did was I just did a simple average for acts 1, 2, and 3. No weights for the acts.
Okay. So then that makes my act 1 score a 78.
Okay.
My act 2 is a 47.
Alrighty.
And my act 3 is a 63.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All of yours are much higher than mine.
Okay.
I was 62 for act 1, 40 for act 2, and 41 for act 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then what we do, if you don't know, we take our three acts and use a average weighted calculator, which the one that we use is literally just weighted average calculator. If you Google that, it should come up. Mm-hmm. And then the weight for act one is one, the weight for act two is two, and the weight for act three is three, because we feel the farther you get into the movie, the more your choices should matter.
Yes.
So my overall weighted average came out to a 44.
Okay, mine came out exactly 60%.
Okay, so that leaves us with an average of 52.
Okay.
For this episode. Now, I think this is really interesting because at first I was like, ooh, 44 feels too high. It's a bear. But I think what this is going to help us do is really take into account a lot of those earlier questions. Like, did you pack the map?
Exactly.
If you took the map, you wouldn't run into the bear most likely. Yeah. And
did you take that path? You know? Yep,
exactly. So it's like, yes, if we run into the bear, we're probably screwed. But in this particular instance, I think running into the bear is less likely to happen for most people.
Yeah.
Because I feel like most people are a little smarter than not taking the map and whatnot.
And going down a sketchy path. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the two big things there that led exactly. to the demise. Because yeah, when it comes down to being face to face with the bear, I was at a 2%.
Right. Same. Exactly.
But taking the entire movie as a whole, I think it actually makes sense that I'm at 60% because I feel like I'm more like, nope, I'm not going to do it than you are.
That's true.
And yeah. I'm more scared like about stupid things like when I shouldn't be.
Fair.
And that can help me sometimes in situations like this.
Sure. And before we end today's episode, I want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff behind this movie.
Yes.
Which is really interesting. So this is very loosely based on a true story. The director, he really wanted to like look into the realism behind these kinds of situations. Mm-hmm. So he found this particular story from the early 2000s where a husband and a wife, Jacqueline Perry, Mark Jordan, they were both 30 years old and they were hiking in a park in Ontario, Canada. And a black bear attacked them while they were at their campsite. The bear initially attacked Jacqueline, but Jordan was able to stab the bear multiple times so it couldn't drag his wife away. And then in the real story, he carried her away to their kayak where he was able to locate a campsite where people were able to help him. But unfortunately, like, it was too late. So Jacqueline did pass away from her injuries.
Wow.
And Jordan needed 300 stitches. Mm. And ended up being awarded the Star of Courage, which is an award of bravery in Canada. So it's actually a very sad story.
Yeah.
Much even sadder than the movie. I feel like the way that it happens. But what is interesting, before this 2005 attack, there had only been three other black bear-related fatalities reported in that area since 1978.
Okay.
And they say that black bears, I don't have, this is all from Screen Rant, by the way. Shout out Screen Rant for this information. But black bears are less likely to become hostile. I think in order for bears to become hostile, they have to be introduced to scenarios where they need to be. That's why, like, actually when I was at Yellowstone a couple of years ago, a woman was killed by a bear.
Oh my gosh.
And they had to kill the bear because now the bear has killed a human and will be more likely to do it again.
Right.
Whereas that's not what they're trying to do, but if they have to, they will. And once they do it once, they're more likely to continue. So I find that really interesting. And yes, it is it is true. If it's black, fight back. If it's brown, lie down. Do your own research. I'm not an expert, but it is like you can intimidate a black bear. You can, like, if you make yourself really big and you like scream at it and stuff, like there's a good chance it's going to go away. But with a brown bear, you're going to want to play dead because that is like your only chance to get away from a brown bear because they're just humongous and they'll kill you. I also was like looked at a very specific Reddit thread where people talked about how this is probably like the most realistic bear attack ever brought to film because of how raw it is and how real it is. Whereas people talk a lot about The Revenant, but The Revenant is not, I've never seen The Revenant, but I know about the bear. Same. the bear attack. And mm-hmm. it's very cinematic and it's very unrealistic. It's very right. well done, but it's well done
for film. It's not meant to be super realistic, but.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So like this is coming from a very different place. And I have a quote here from the director that I really liked. He said, "I wanted to respect anybody who's been attacked by a wild animal in a way where it's not a joke. It's serious, serious business. When people have seen the attack in this movie, they're really taken aback and they can feel it. And that's what I wanted to do. To be honest, I think it would be such a disservice if someone saw the movie and went, that's not how it happens at all. It's disrespectful in a way. I just wanted to convey that it's so ferocious, so instant, so powerful. And that was my mandate. I wanted to make something as powerful as it would be in real life."
Cool.
And I thought that was really interesting. I really like the way that he handled it. And he did a lot of research into like actually like and talked to people about their experiences. And I really like this movie a lot. I think, another fun fact about it from just my experience, I literally cried for the last half hour of the movie.
Wow.
The bear attack affected me so much. And then just the musical scores and just the desperation, it was just conveyed in such a beautiful way that I was just like, I just was like so shocked watching this movie. It's like so beautiful, but so raw and horrible at the same time. But,
I'm a little scared to watch this movie.
Yeah, just be like, I think people could enjoy this movie. Just be prepared for the bear attack. Maybe I'm hyping it up so much that you won't think it's bad. But like the bear attack to me was just like, oh, awful.
It's interesting what you said too about the whole thing of once a bear kills a human once, that they're more likely to do it again. Because I feel like there's a statistic out there as far as like serial killers where there's like so much...
Ooh.
It's different because, you know, usually they're suppressing this urge as a human, whereas I mean, I guess we don't know what a bear is thinking, but it feels like it's more like it snaps once and it's not like they've had all this pent up energy of like, I need to kill a human.
Right.
You know, it's different, but it's also a little bit interesting because it's like usually you see once a human like kills another human once, then the threshold open, like the gates open. It turns oftentimes like turns into, okay, now I can't stop.
That's kind of scary to compare like a bear's primal instinct to a human's conscious decision. But it's like, that is really creepy in a weird way. It's kind of scary.
It's making me uncomfortable.
But that is Backcountry. And I want to recommend the movie, but just that one scene is like a lot. So just be aware of
with
that.
With caution. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much as always for listening to this episode. You can check us out on Instagram at I'd Survive Podcast. And over there, you will also find a link to our Discord where you too can submit your scores. So let us know. Would you survive?